Morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday, or if you prefer, Happy Easter. My mother tried to get me excited in Easter when I was a kid, and I rejected the Easter Bunny when I was about four. So it's all about the resurrection today. There's all kinds of ways I can approach the subject of the resurrection, but today I want to talk about the reality of the resurrection, the importance of it, and the message of it. The resurrection is the key to the Christian faith. To put it as bluntly as possible, if Jesus isn't resurrected, we wouldn't be here. We would have no faith. The Christian message of salvation is based on the cross. Our sin, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But our faith is based on the resurrection. And a lot of people have some difficulty with the resurrection, and that's understandable. There are people who have questioned the resurrection since the day of the resurrection. In modern times, people complain about the resurrection just saying that they don't believe in miracles. Pastor Timothy Keller of the Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City wrote the following story. Sometimes people approach me and say, I really struggle with this aspect of Christian teaching, meaning the resurrection. I like this part of Christianity or that part, but I don't think I can accept that part of about resurrection. I usually respond to him, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like Jesus' teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. This is how the first hearers felt who heard reports of the resurrection. They knew that if it was true, it meant we can't live our lives any way we want. On the other hand, it also meant we don't have to be afraid of anything. Not Roman swords, not cancer, nothing. If Jesus rose from the dead, it changes everything. That's from the book, The Reason for God by Timothy Keller. I have recently heard a modern theological explanation of the resurrection, that it was just some sort of a myth created by Christians. They were devastated by Jesus' death, and so they made up the story of the resurrection to make themselves feel better. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. I don't buy that story for a minute. And the reason why is because there is no such thing as spiritual resurrection. When we talk of resurrection of Jesus, we're talking a bodily, physical resurrection. This was the early message of the church. And to look at the early message of the church, I want to go back to what probably is the earliest written record of the resurrection. It's stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, which discusses the gospel. Now, to be fair and to be honest with you, nobody can date the gospels exactly, but as best as we know, they were all written in the late 50s or early 60s AD. The first letter to the Corinthians was written in 55 AD, as far as we know. So this probably predates the earliest gospel, the first gospels. Paul writes the following to the church at Corinth. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Cephas is Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. This is the earliest written record that we have that discusses the gospel and the resurrection. The first two verses talk about the testimony of the church. Paul had preached to the church at Corinth in the early 50s AD when he began the church. He preached the gospel, he preached the resurrection. And it had been the testimony of the church in Corinth for some years before this was written. Now, the testimony of Paul, the preaching of Paul, was quite simple. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead. He was buried and then raised again on the third day. This also is testimony of Scripture, Old Testament, and Paul knew that. You just read Isaiah 53 to talk about Jesus' death, the Messiah's death, and his being punished for man's sins. That's all in Isaiah 53. But I want you to notice something that is only mentioned here in 1 Corinthians. It talks about the fact that Jesus was raised on the third day, and then he started to appear to people. It says in verse 5, he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12 apostles. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Who were these 500? Well, we don't know for sure exactly who they were. There are two pretty good guesses. They were either the ones that appeared for the Great Commission or the ones that appeared for the Ascension, although it may have been some other time. But the point is, Paul was telling the Corinthian church, if any of you question the resurrection of Jesus, if any of you question that any of us saw Jesus alive after he was dead, there's 500 believers that have seen him. You all know where they live. And we have to remember the world at the time of the Roman Empire was a much less populated place. And there was peace at the time, and travel was easy. So if anybody in Corinth wanted to question anybody in Jerusalem about the rising of Jesus, they could go and talk to any of these 500, at least the ones that were still alive, and that was most of them. The witnesses were well known. It had been 15 or so years since the resurrection, and nobody had kept quiet. So if they needed to talk to some eyewitnesses beyond Paul, they could. And Paul emphasized that there were 500 witnesses. That was a huge crowd in those days. It's not much for these days, but for those days, that was a big crowd. And remember, when the Bible mentions numbers of people, it doesn't usually include women and children. So the number of people that actually saw Jesus after his resurrection may have been above 1,000, but just 500 men. And then After the testimony of the church, scripture, and eyewitnesses, Paul mentions the testimony of a special witness in verse 8. And that special witness, of course, is himself. He was not one of the original apostles, but Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. He verified Jesus was alive because Paul talked to Jesus after he was alive. And you can't talk to a dead person. You could talk, but Jesus replied. There's no two-way conversation if the person's dead. Now, I mentioned earlier there was no such thing as a spiritual resurrection. I want to tell you something that is believed today by many. You may know some people that believe this, if you know some unbelievers. The church was devastated at Jesus' death, the early disciples. And they were, at first. And so, to make themselves feel better, they first decided to pretend that Jesus was spiritually resurrected in some mythical way to heaven. And that turned into a bodily resurrection that they all began to believe. So that by, say, 60 AD, when the Gospels were written, the Christians were living out this lie that Jesus had been bodily resurrected, but that really it was a myth or a hoax. Now, you might say, well, that's possible, but there's one major problem. What is the greatest proof of Jesus' resurrection? And the answer is, it's the existence of the Christian church. It's you, it's me, and it's all the people that came before us that started the church. Nobody ever dies willingly for a hoax, a myth, or a lie. You might die willingly for something that turns out to be a lie that you didn't know about, that you thought was the truth. But hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of early Christians died willingly for Jesus. If you don't believe that, I suggest you read a book called The Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1. It talks about all the early Christians that were given a choice by the Roman Empire. Recant your faith in Jesus and you'll live and you'll be left alone. If you refuse to recant your faith in Jesus, we're killing you. And someday, sometimes, the death were horrible. Some early Christians burned to death with a smile on their face. Some early Christians were beaten to death. Some early Christians suffered beatings of a type that we can't hardly imagine. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it's in the library locally, don't read it just before you go to bed. Because if you read it before you go to bed, you will have horrible nightmares. I guarantee you, because I know. The early Christians who died because Jesus was alive is proof Jesus was risen. Nobody would die for a lie that they knew was a lie. And last of all, you sitting here today, if you're a Christian, you're proof Jesus was resurrected. Because you are here today, you would not be here if Jesus was dead. Jesus' resurrection is the key to Christian faith. We have no faith without the resurrection of Jesus. Now, somebody might argue, well, Frank, this pie-in-the-sky stuff is fine. You think Jesus is in heaven, but what difference does it make where he is? Well, the difference is that the resurrection proves who Jesus was. He showed he was God by the miracles he did. The resurrection proves he's God, and also it proves that everything Jesus said was true, including those promises he made to us that haven't been fulfilled yet. He promised his disciples he would be raised again on the third day. If he hadn't kept that promise, then we wouldn't know if any of Jesus' promises were true. Now, what's the message of the resurrection for today beyond the immediate theological stuff. I would like to close by reading to you a passage from a book by a New Testament theologian named Dr. N.T. Wright, who lived early in the 1900s. He wrote this in the 1940s. I want to preface this by saying that there are three enemies of Christianity that have lived in the last 100 or so years that are very famous. You may have heard of them. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology, hated Christianity. Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, hated Christianity. And Karl Marx, the socialist from Russia, hated Christianity. I mention their names because they're going to be mentioned in what I'm going to read to you. This comes from the book written by N.T. Wright, Dr. N.T. Wright, called The Resurrection of the Son of God. The message of the resurrection for today is that this world matters. That the injustices and pains of this present world must now be addressed with the news that healing, justice, and love have won. If Easter means Jesus Christ is only raised in a spiritual sense, then it is only about me and finding a new dimension in my personal spiritual life. But if Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead, Christianity becomes good news for the whole world. News which warms our hearts precisely because it isn't just about warming our hearts. Easter means that in a world where injustice, violence, and degradation are endemic and visible everywhere, God is not prepared to tolerate such things forever, and that we will work and plan with all the energy of God to implement victory of Jesus over them all. Someday he'll be back to gain that victory. If you take away Easter and the resurrection, Karl Marx was probably right to accuse Christianity of ignoring problems of the material world. Take the resurrection of Jesus away, and Sigmund Freud was probably right to say Christianity is only wish fulfillment. Take away the resurrection of Jesus, and Friedrich Nietzsche probably was right when he said Christianity was for wimps. But those three men are dead. Jesus is risen. He is alive. Thank you.